Hi, I'm Eden from Eden Eats on the Cooking Channel, and you're watching Mr. Media.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to writer Pete Williams, the author of Obstacle Fit, a new, literally, bleeding-edge fitness ebook for people who know 5Ks and half marathons are for wimps. Stick around, and don't be surprised if, when this conversation is over, you want to get down and dirty in the mud with handsome Pete. Professionally, that is. He's a happily married man, ladies. This is Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview, brought to you today by the Stitcher app for mobile devices. Give it a test drive today at stitcher.com/mrmedia, Mr. Media. I love this free radio app, and I think you will too. stitcher.com/mrmedia. Today's episode of Mr. Media Interviews is brought to you by GoDaddy.com. You know GoDaddy.com from their wild and sexy commercials, but isn't it time you actually test drove their web hosting and domain registration services yourself? For a limited time, Mr. Media listeners can save 10% on the already low price of web hosting services at GoDaddy.com by entering the promo code POD4 at checkout. Again, that's 10% off web hosting when you go to GoDaddy.com and enter the promo code POD4, that's P-O-D, the number 4, at checkout. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of aggressive, eager, athletic mutters who look down their noses at the likes of me in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. If author Pete Williams is on the show, you can be pretty sure that I'm going to be out of my element. The first time wasn't bad. His book, The Draft, was out, and we talked about what goes on behind the scenes at the NFL's college football draft. I kept my head above water, barely, on that one. But ever since he met professional fitness trainer Mark Verstegen and co-authored a series of core performance titles, it's been man overboard for Mr. Media. My training regimen consists of getting up every morning, walking to the kitchen, taking a bunch of vitamins, walking the dog for 20 minutes, and then walking to my desk. Pete, on the other hand, has moved on to marathons, triathlons, and Ironman competitions. He wrote a book, that's a book plus a video, called Paddle Fit, and I actually went out into the waters of Tampa Bay with him to videotape our last interview, and I'm not much of a water bird. This time around, Pete's latest ebook is called Obstacle Fit. In it, he explores a world completely foreign to me, where people get fit by creating ridiculous challenges to their well-being and sanity. At least that's the way I see it. Pete Williams, welcome back to Mr. Media.
Thanks, Bob. Great to be here.
Always good to see you, even if I have no idea what you're doing, even when you explain it to me. Pete, I love you. We've been friends a long time. But I got to say, you are one crazy mofo. You're only, what, 30 years old, 20 years old? I mean, what on earth are you going to be doing to challenge yourself at 40 or 50?
Well, Jack LaLanne was still challenging himself well into his 80s, so I guess that's the route I'm heading. But I, much like my career, when it comes to my fitness regimen, I have ADD. I just go from one thing to another, so who knows what I'll be doing at that point.
I mean, this stuff has gotten pretty – I mean, there's a difference between going from 100 to 300 sit-ups or push-ups to doing this obstacle stuff, right?
Really is when you're talking about two things. People use obstacle race and mud run interchangeably, and I guess that's okay, but you could break it down a little more. Some of these races are more focused on the obstacles. Some are more focused on just the silly, muddy, goofy, let's drink beer at the end experience. And so they are blended together. Some are more difficult than others, but the bottom line is people, I think, want to get away from just pounding the pavement, running on asphalt and concrete, something that almost necessarily necessitates wearing an iPod just to keep yourself from being bored silly. And so when you have these challenges that you don't know what's coming next, I think there's not only is it a better fitness regimen, but it's certainly more enjoyable and more entertaining. I think that's what's driving a lot of this.
So, okay, I want to find out the details of Obstacle Fit. But before we do that, the last time we had you on the show, you were doing Paddle Fit. Now, how do you go from the calm serenity of that to this crazy insane world of obstacle fitness?
I think there's an element of those of us who are in endurance sports that we're kind of looking for different challenges. We don't want to just stick with triathlon, which in and of itself is three things brought together. Mm-hmm. We don't want to stick with just road running. We don't want to stick with just, say, water sports. And then we head off to obstacle racing. So for me, I think that's it. I'm always looking to mix things up in my training regimen just to keep myself from getting bored. And really, when you're talking about fitness, the key for any of it is to keep challenging your body in different directions, because it adapts quickly to no matter how difficult the workout you're doing. If you do it over a period, the same thing of even a few weeks, well, you're not going to get the response. And so for me, it's kind of two-pronged there. I really enjoy the obstacle racing because I found, ironically, it kind of appeals to my jack of all trades, master of some on a certain day sort of training. If you have a little bit of everything, you're going to do well in obstacle training, because for the most part, when you talk about people who work out, there are two types of people. There are people who run but don't do a lot of strength training, and then your proverbial gym rats who don't do a lot of running. Well, you need both for obstacle racing, and I found that my kind of background with a little of both has really helped me be pretty competitive in this. And naturally, I think when you're pretty competitive in something and doing well, that kind of propels you to do it even more.
Now, I'm thinking about obstacle racing, and I'm thinking about, 20 years ago when almost 30 years ago when the MTV generation basically started, we went from like a music video would be like a simple story and there'd be, long shots. And then as MTV picked up speed, we went to the point of shots were every 3 seconds, because the thought was that the young viewer or young music fan, you couldn't keep their attention unless you're constantly flashing new things at them, and there was new images and new things. Everything had to be constantly exciting. Now, it seems to me that maybe there's some similarity here, in that there were whole generations going back to Jim Fix and even before who were quite content to just run. And like you said, they were runners and there were people who were gym rats. Now it seems like there's something – every time you and I talk, it seems like there's something new. I mean, there's the Ironman competitions, which I think that whole company is actually owned out of the Tampa Bay area. When do you reach a point of enough is enough,
Well, there's this whole mud run concept has spawned, I think, what people are calling themed races, where we see the color run, where you're doused with various powders and you wear a white T-shirt. That's kind of clever. We see beer runs have become very popular.
Yeah, just big surprise there.
Free beer. Hey, why didn't we think of that? That's become very popular. Zombie runs, where you're chased with people dressed like zombies. So every theme that you can imagine is coming along. I think why obstacle racing might have some staying power, and again, I draw this distinction between obstacle racing and mud runs. I think I look at some of these mud runs more as just themed events where people just want to get muddy as opposed to challenge themselves via obstacles. I think obstacle racing to me is more similar to, say, the decathlon, where you're doing different things, or it's a long cross-country steeplechase, if you will, without horses. So I think that's going to have staying power. I think what's driving a lot of these themed runs right now is simply Facebook. People want those photos to just say, hey, look what I did. Look at me looking goofy, colored, covered in various rainbow-colored powders. Look at me covered from head to toe in mud. Look at me wearing the Tough Mudder finisher's headband, which is this goofy, looks like something from the American Basketball Association that Slick Watts would wear, the orange headband. So all of that, I think, is driving this right now. But I think 3 to 5 years from now, we're going to look back and say, wow, this is what evolved into what we now know as obstacle racing.
Hmm. Yeah, I was just thinking the last 6 weeks here in downtown St. Pete, we had the first color run that they did this past weekend, I guess, was the Rock and Roll Half Marathon. And there was probably something else. And then, of course, there's the St. Anthony's Triathlon will come up. And
St. Pete also had something called the Glow Run, where you wear the glow sticks around your neck, essentially, and have it late at night. So there's that as well. And St. Pete is no different than many other markets where this is happening. Well, in that they can do all this in January and February, of course. Right. So we see even more of it in the Tampa Bay area. But it's something we're seeing all over the place. The market for this, and you may say, well, why is this happening now? For most of us, at least here in Florida, we still think of ourselves ourselves is in a recession, not with discretionary income, but I think a lot of people are looking for experiences. The Tough Mudder founder, Will Dean, said something I think really resonates. He said, experiences are the new luxury good. We don't talk about, hey, look at this car I bought or anything else. It's again, the Facebook phenomenon. Hey, look what I did over the weekend. It's not that I went to the Super Bowl or I went and paid to watch something. I participated in something. I experienced it. And that's something, hey, I'm as big a sports fan as anybody, but I don't consider myself to have experienced an event. When I go to an NFL game, I certainly didn't strap on the pads. And so I think that's what's fueling this as well, this whole experience factor.
Well, along that line, when did your professional career change in that you went from being a sports journalist who covered things to being a participant journalist who writes about what you're doing and you're actually, you know...
Yeah, the segue for me was meeting Mark Verstegen, who's a very prominent trainer based in Phoenix. He's now a world conglomerate with his training centers. He trains international soccer teams, most notably in Germany. And just I met Mark through covering baseball and football and some of the players he was training in the NFL and Major League Baseball. But gradually, he and I started writing books for the general population. And then along the way, after I think our third book, which was Core Performance Endurance, I took up triathlon and started really applying the stuff. I had always worked out to a degree, but really started applying the stuff that Mark and I were writing about. And that's been carried over into the paddleboarding, the book you mentioned I wrote with Brody Welty, now my own book, Obstacle Fit, on obstacle racing. And just in the last year, I picked up a certification through the National Association of Sports Medicine. I'm a certified personal trainer through them, not because I plan to train people. I'm happy to offer friendly advice to my friends, but mainly because as a journalist, I wanted to have some more credit behind my own writing. And so I guess making that transition, it has been a gradual process, but here I am.
All right. So now let's talk about an obstacle course. Let's talk about what it's about. Because I'm sure there's probably two types of people that would tune in for this interview. One would be people who already know about it and want to hear you talk about it, and others who are curious about it and want to learn more. So tell me, I mean, if I sign up for an obstacle event, what am I actually looking at? And do I know what the obstacles are, or is that part of the surprise?
Yes and no. What you're looking at, you'll be looking at a course of between 3 and 12 miles. They'll tell you the general distance. This isn't really GPS to the tenth of a mile the way it is with road racing, but it'll be pretty close. And you'll be looking at, for let's say a 5K run, maybe a dozen obstacles over that period. And they could be things just as simple as running through a muddy creek, or they could be things that are constructed that day, walls of 4, 6, 8, even 10 feet high that you have to get over either with yourself or with the help of some friends. Lots of times you have to kind of crawl under barbed wire, usually through mud, which is something you think of in terms of armed forces, boot camps, and those sorts of things. And you're also going to have what I call fear factor obstacles, in that they're not particularly physically demanding, but boy, you're not going to enjoy them. Jumping in dumpsters full of ice water, for instance. Some, such as Tough Mudders, become kind of famous for their electroshock, where they hang electrically charged wires and you have to run through them. And depending on the day and who's manning the switch, you're going to get a charge of something along the lines of, I can barely feel that, to I might be knocked over. You just never know. So, and then there's, of course, always plenty of mud crawls, usually some water obstacles. Swimming not usually required, because they recognize a lot of people don't have the proper swimming skills, so they will either allow you to skip those obstacles, they'll give you a flotation device, something along those lines. So you put that over a course of 3 to 12 to some cases even 15 miles, and that's what you're looking at. Some people do these as teams. Sometimes that's very much encouraged. Sometimes it's very much discouraged, and you have to do this on your own. And when you don't complete certain obstacles, you have to complete 30 burpees, which, if you're not aware of what a pleasant thing a burpee is, it's sort of this lunging, jumping, push-up motion that's it's really hard to do more than 10 without really gasping for air, and that's just the point. So you throw all that together. It's a physically challenging event in a lot of ways, very much a polar opposite of your typical 5K, 10K run.
Well, as you were talking about diving to a dumpster full of ice, or you know, getting an electrical charge, I was going to ask you, I mean, if there are obstacles that you A, either can't do, or B, don't want to do. So there is a workaround, you're saying.
There is. Some obstacle races will just say, hey, if you don't want to do it, just don't do it. Just run around it. Others, such as the Spartan race, which is notorious for their 30 burpee penalties for events that you either cannot do, meaning you mess it up, you fall off the balance beam, you fall off the wall, or you just don't want to do, then you can do 30 burpees. But over the course of a 1 or 2 or 3 hour Spartan race, after you've done 2, 3, or 5 sets of burpees, you're going to do everything possible to avoid having to do another.
Have you met yet an obstacle that you would not do?
I have not. Thankfully, through triathlon, I've become a proficient enough swimmer. Not a very good one, but by triathlon standards, but by obstacle race standards, a pretty good one. And so there's that. I think what these races do is you discover what your weakness is. I never thought of myself as a claustrophobic person, but in some of these challenges where I've been in dark tunnels on my hands and knees, that's been disconcerting. Some people just jumping into that ice water. I mean, living in Florida, my blood is thin. I'm a wimp as much as anybody. Even the temperature gets below 50, I'm miserable. But I don't find jumping in a dumpster full of ice water as miserable as some people. I'll take that over the claustrophobic stuff any day.
I cannot imagine going through one of these and paying for the luxury.
Paying for the privilege to do so,
well,
right?
And you know, the fact that somebody's going to control sending some electricity through my body, no, that's just not going to happen. And I'm not at that point. I think of a lot of young men who might be protecting, the crown jewels and, their ability to reproduce in the future, like yourself perhaps. And I just think, some kid, who's in his second year of college pushing a button there to, send an electrical charge, not going to happen.
Well, the remarkable thing, Bobby, you talk about people paying to do this, and you and I have worked in the sports business journalism realm at various points in our lives. It's a really interesting business success story. When you look at the two most prominent races, Tough Mudder and Spartan Race, both of which are only 3 to 4 years from their incorporation, Tough Mudder went from startup to $70 million a year in about 18 months. The Spartan Race, which is founded by a former Wall Streeter named Joe DeSena, has recently gotten serious venture capital, title sponsorship from Reebok. They've partnered with Major League Baseball to the point where they're staging Spartan races. They had one in Fenway Park. They're having one in New York City Field and at Citizens Bank Ballpark in Philadelphia coming up. So really a big business when you're looking at charging, depending on when people register. These things can cost you between $80 and $200 to register. They've been scaled quickly with a lot of these tours, not a lot, but the tours like Tough Mudder and Spartan scaling quickly to 60, 80 events worldwide a year. And so just an estimated 2 million people did one last year, and it's probably going to come close to doubling this year.
It's crazy. I'm sorry. I just think it's – when I said questioning well-being and sanity.
And why didn't we think of this?
Well, no, I don't know about that. I think about it in my nightmares, but I wouldn't have I wouldn't have asked people to pay to go through it, I guess. And so tell me how you and Mark operate in that this is not a project you did with Verstegen. You did this on your own. Is he not particularly an obstacle guy, or is it just that you got on this yourself ahead of him?
I got this ahead of him. I think what's very interesting is that Mark's company, Athletes Performance, does deal with U.S. Special Forces. They work with they're contracted by the Department of Defense, and they work with the military at the highest levels when you're talking about special operations. But no, this is not something, aside from the fact that in a couple weeks I plan to do a Tough Mudder with Mark and some of his staff members in Phoenix. But no, this is my as a fitness book, I call this my first solo album. Obviously, I've written books as a sports writer of sports and sports business related topics, but this is my my first solo album as a fitness endeavor, and that's one reason I went and got became a certified personal trainer through the National Association of Sports Medicine, because certainly wanted to have that credibility. I've co-authored so many fitness books, and like to think writing for that and many other magazines provide some street cred as well. But throwing all that that together, and just my expertise from doing, I've been doing these races for 2 years, which makes me an early adapter. And even before that, I did the Muddy Buddy race for 3 or 4 years prior to that. So I think I become a cagey veteran, if you will, in this this young but growing industry.
All right, so let's go into the book itself, and that's probably where we'll kind of wind up. The book is – it's an e-book. I remind people it's available in all e-book formats, so you can get it however you know, read your e-books. And for most people, even that means you can see it on your computer if you have an Amazon Kindle account, for example. But what's in the book? It's about 25,000 words, so it's not like an overly long read. Take us through the design of the book so people know what they're going to find in there when they download it.
The book is two things. It's both how to get into this obstacle race endeavor, what you can expect for your first race, just the logistics of it, which race you should go to and why, what to expect from the various national races, some of the local ones. But more importantly, it's a training regimen. What I found as I went to some places that we're trying to train people for this is, again, you have this distinction. Even now, you have runners and you have your gym rats. These races, Tough Mudder and Spartan Race, have really aligned themselves with CrossFit, which in and of itself is a huge fitness success story of recent years. Like CrossFit, I do. But what I found the shortcoming with CrossFit is there's not a lot of running involved. And I discovered this as I started doing some of these races with friends who were avid CrossFit people, people who are shredded in incredible shape. They would muscle through these obstacles with no problem. But then, oh, I have to run another third to half mile to the next one. Well, that's a problem to repeat that over and over when your training does not provide you with a lot of running. I also know a lot of runners, people who do incredible times in 5Ks all the way up to marathons, but they do no strength training. So what happens to them when they get out on these courses? They run, they have no problem sprinting from obstacle to obstacle, but they struggle getting over the obstacles and challenges themselves. So I thought, what if we could come up with a regimen that integrates both of these? Because I think typically with fitness, you have your muscle heads who go, hey, today we're going to do some cardio. Or you have runners who say, hey, today we're going to get in the gym. Well, this program says, well, why don't we just integrate them both? And why don't we do it so we can be outside as much as possible to mimic these races? One of my favorite workouts is to run through a park and just use whatever is there. I have routines where you grab a park bench and you do push-ups and dips off the park bench. You hurdle just about anything in your path that comes along. You can, in my particular park by my home, they have those free mulch. You know, you can grab free mulch. It seems like nobody ever grabs the mulch, and so mountains of mulch form, so I climb up the mulch. You can use a playground. And think of what your kids are doing. They're mimicking a lot of the same movements. In fact, they're monkey bars in just about every obstacle race you're going to do. When was the last time you actually went on the monkey bars yourself? So as I encourage parents in the book, hey, when your kids are in the playground, put down your smartphone and actually pay attention to your kids, and better yet, get out on the playground with them, go over the monkey bars, climb through those tubes for the slides, and you'll find that is going to really prepare yourself for obstacle races as well.
Okay, a warning, parents, about going through mulch. Mulch is where you may find ticks and other things like that, particularly
exactly.
In Florida and maybe the Northeast. I would think twice about the mulch.
Yeah, but then again, Bob, the mulch and the mud and the other things you're going to encounter in the obstacle race itself. But yes, hazards of the endeavor.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Lyme disease, ticks, you know, that might not be worth that. But again, I'm not one who's going to do an obstacle course anyway, so maybe I'm just being overly parental here with my young friend. So, Pete, you know how this business works. You're only as good as your next project. So Obstacle Fit is out. You're out talking about it. Do you have something coming up next, you and Mark? Are you alone?
We do. Mark and I are planning our sixth book, hard to believe, an endeavor. We started working on our first one over a decade ago. The Core Performance, the original, continues to be a fitness bestseller around the world. We're big in Germany and among other places, Japan. And we've had four Core Performance books after that. But the book we're working on now is a little different. It's beyond what we call our Core Performance franchise. We're working with some tentative titles, but I think what this is going to be, it's going to be a more integrated, challenging lifestyle system, if you will, whereas we're not just challenging you to change your nutrition and your exercise regimen, which we are. We're asking you to look at the whole 24-hour cycle, to take a look at your sleep, take a look at your recovery habits, take a look at everything that you have in terms of your day-to-day time management and how this can work into what sort of a perfect day if you make everything, if you hit all your targets throughout the course of a 24-hour cycle. So I think that's sort of going to be the magic mojo of this book. Okay, we know you can probably adhere to a diet. We know you can probably adhere to a regular routine, but can you do everything that really is going to make you a high performer and a lead achiever? And so that book will be coming out around January 1st of 2014.
Great. Glad to hear it. Like to see my friends still working, keeping
That's
busy.
That's right.
All right, well, folks, listen, you can find Obstacle Fit, the new ebook by Pete Williams, on great e-readers everywhere, or you can order it right now at a great price at MrMedia.com, and that will be for Amazon for Kindle readers. We have that on our site. Pete, is there a website you want to send people to for more information?
Yeah, absolutely. Obstacle Fit is not just a training program. It's not just an e-book. It is a community. It's a daily training regimen that you can find at obstaclefit.com, where we have training regimens updated every day. We have what I think is the most definitive obstacle race calendar. So wherever you are, you can plug in your state and see all the races coming to your neck of the woods sometime soon.
Great. And as usual, you can also be found, I guess, on Twitter and Facebook, those kind of things?
Twitter and Facebook and PeteWilliams.net as well.
Very good. Well, Pete Williams, always a pleasure to have you. You never cease to amaze me and scare me. thanks for joining us today on Mr. Media. Good luck with the new book.
Thanks so much, Bob. Really appreciate it.
You can see and hear almost 1,000 Mr. Media interviews by visiting our main site, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Or check out the more than 200 video interviews on the Mr. Media radio site on YouTube. And I'd sure appreciate if you'd show some love for Mr. Media's advertisers, including Stitcher. Apple named Stitcher a top 5 news app of 2011. It's a free mobile app for your smartphone or tablet that lets you listen to your favorite shows and discover the best of news, entertainment, and sports on demand. You can listen whenever you want to more than 5,000 shows, get customized recommendations, and discover what your friends are listening to. My own list of Stitcher favorites is pretty eclectic. I start my day with an hour of MSNBC's Morning Joe with Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. Then it's the latest 2-minute update from the Onion News Network. After that, I'll listen to WTF with Mark Maron, Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin, HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, and excerpts from E's Chelsea Lately and The Soup with Joel McHale. Also in regular rotation on my Stitcher playlist, The BS Report with ESPN's Bill Simmons, The TechCrunch Headlines, and The Don Geronimo Show. The latest episodes of each show, whether originating from broadcasts, cable TV, radio syndication, or podcasts, are continuously updated. Stitcher is a free app for your iPhone, iPad, Kindle, Fire, BlackBerry, Droid, and more. And show your support of Mr. Media by getting, did I mention it's free? The app at stitcher.com/Mr. Media. That's stitcher.com/MR Media. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. We're also supported by Audible. Check out Audible's 30-day trial membership and download the audiobook version of the book everyone's been talking about, 50 Shades of Grey by E.L. James. Sign up for your free trial today at audible.com/radio. Again, audibletrial.com/radio. And finally, if you need a disc jockey for a wedding, bar mitzvah, corporate event, or just a big old party, please consider calling 1-800-DIAL-DJS, the party authority, for all your party entertainment needs. You can call 1-800-DIAL-DJS or go to their website, 1-800-DIAL-DJS.com, and tell them Mr. Media sent you. And thanks for listening. Today's episode of Mr. Media Interviews is brought to you by GoDaddy.com. You know GoDaddy.com from their wild and sexy commercials, but isn't it time you actually test drove their web hosting and domain registration services yourself? For a limited time, Mr. Media listeners can save 10% on the already low price of web hosting services at GoDaddy.com by entering the promo code POD4 at checkout. Again, that's 10% off web hosting when you go to GoDaddy.com and enter the promo code POD4, that's P-O-D, the number 4, at checkout.